Last week I spoke about silence and how it's especially appropriate, fitting for the Advent season, and how it's one very good way for us to go against the tide of the world, which so often gets swept up into many things that not only distract us from the real meaning of Christmas, but oftentimes undermine the real meaning of Christmas. Now this week we hear of St. John the Baptist, who it seems all of a sudden appears preaching in the desert. Certainly the place from which John the Baptist comes is very important. The desert, the deserted place. It's an extraordinary thing if you begin to imagine living in the desert. The exposure to the elements, to the wind, the sand, the sun, the heat of the day, and even the great cold of the night. Having very few places to find shelter. Jostling with the wild beasts for the few caves they could accommodate. Having very little sustenance. Surviving on bugs and sour honey. And that's all just on the physical side. Then there's that terrible loneliness of not seeing any other human beings. And the silence. Yes, I would like to talk again about silence this week. I know that not everyone is pleased to hear that. Well, the staff went on a brief retreat this summer, and the priest leading us asked us to spend an extended period of time in silence. And he mentioned that some people are very uncomfortable with silence, that it even causes them anxiety. And it's very true. But then he asked a very penetrating question. Why is it so hard for us just to be with ourselves? And also, why is it so hard for us just to be with God? Maybe you have tried this past week to embrace silence and you found it difficult, or perhaps even disorienting. Or maybe you were too afraid to even give it a shot. Why is it so hard for us just to be with ourselves? Why is it so hard for us just to be with God? We know that many of us in our culture, in our day, are addicted to things like computers and phones, music, television. And I think that's in part because we are not comfortable with being with ourselves. So in this context, that makes the image of John all the more powerful. Out of the great silence of the desert, his clear voice cries out, the voice of a prophet. Prepare the way. Perhaps it's a little bit like opening morning of hunting season, that first gunshot ringing out in the silence. It wakes up all the rest of the hunters. More fittingly, actually, if you've seen those movies of ancient times, the foot soldiers are preparing for a battle and they're all lined up in the darkness and the dawn is about to break, the battle is about to begin. And there is a terrible silence. It's the silence that the soldiers, as tough as they may be, begins to cause them to panic or be nervous. It's at that moment that they need the voice of their leader to cry out and to rouse them to their cause. That is John the Baptist's voice. From the silence of the desert and from the prophet's intuition of the coming wrath, his clear voice, his clear call breaks forth. My friends, this is the type of thing that comes from the silence. And we so often miss it because we avoid silence at all costs. Now there's one other thing we need to keep very much in mind here about John the Baptist. I've mentioned this before, but the Jordan River, as it borders the desert by the Dead Sea, which is the area in which John was baptizing, it was not on the outskirts of the city. It was quite a distance. People had to go out, mostly on foot, 20 or 30 or even 50 miles to see John. He did not go to them. They had to come to him. And in so doing, they were disposing themselves to hear his voice crying out in the wilderness. And even then, even still, many who did go out to see him did not benefit from his message. As we hear, he called some today a brood of vipers who need to produce good fruit as evidence of their repentance before he would even baptize them. So the point is that for John's message to have its effect, we need to dispose ourselves and we need to be willing to change our lives. Silence, of course, is a way to dispose ourselves to hearing the message. It is like us going out to the wilderness to listen. And silence makes us come to terms with ourselves. It makes us come to know ourselves better. It's surprising how little we truly know ourselves, isn't it? And only when we know ourselves, when we know where we are, can the road to repentance be shown to us. Only then can the righteous deeds be pointed out to us. Think of the GPS in your car. How frustrating it is when your GPS does not know where you are, because it cannot help you get to where you want to be. It's the same for us in our spiritual life. If we do not know who we are and where we are, the road cannot be pointed out to us. So what sort of things will we hear in this silence? What sort of paths might be opened up to us when we take time to be with ourselves and to be with the Lord? There are millions of possibilities. Just like to posit a few of them. We might discover, now I see that I haven't been listening to my spouse and to their needs. Or we might realize that I'm not showing affection and encouragement to my children, but only criticism. Or we might find that we've held a grudge against another for so many years and never sought to forgive, and it has become an unbearable burden. Or we might see how our attitude at work causes problems. And that's why when I begin to talk about my faith, nobody takes me seriously. We might see that we've ignored the needs of our poor neighbors all these years because we have a bias against them, and how selfish we've been. Many times, it's even our attitudes towards God Himself or prayer or faith that need to be challenged by the silence of the desert. All this time, I've been trying to earn God's love. And I never realized that He simply loves me even when I'm at my worst. Or perhaps, I've always felt like religion has no right to demand anything from me. How foolish I've been. The teachings of my faith are there for my own good. For we might finally realize that I do not know Jesus as I thought I did. I do not have the relationship with Him that I always thought I did. I just presumed all along that I knew Him, but I really don't. And that is why deep down I feel so alone. Many, many types of things that the Lord will speak in the silence that we will not hear if we don't seek the silence. Silence helps us come to terms with ourselves. We need it. And you see, it's a little bit ironic that I just keep talking on and on about silence. But silence is not an escape from reality. John the Baptist did not go out to the desert to escape, to run away from the real world. He was the one who was able to run most deeply into the heart of reality, because he went to hear the voice of God. And that's what gave him that indispensable mission of preparing the world for the Savior by calling all to repentance. And his gunshot still rings out into the silent agony of a world that so desperately needs to prepare again for the Savior. If we want to find reality, we need to go into the desert. Why is it so hard for us to be in the silence? Just to be with ourselves, just to be with God. It's because we've become so unaccustomed to the voice of God in our culture, in our world. The voice of God can be very jarring and unsettling. It speaks the truth to us, even when we do not want to hear it. It calls us to make ready the path to receive Him, to repent, to turn away from our sins, to produce good fruit as evidence of our repentance. And that's why this silence can be so terrifying. But as terrifying as the silence of the desert seems to you, go to it. Seek the silence and you will hear. Go out to the wilderness and you will encounter the voice. He is coming. Prepare the way.